Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, May the 27th, you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello. How are you?
I'm feeling very...
Happy birthday.
Thank you, and thank you very much for my bottle of something lovely, Prosecco.
You didn't even notice what it was as it went down your neck, did you?
No, but I'm...
You just bit the top off and emptied it.
Well, pre-breakfast little... Did you notice I had two little slithers of bacon when I came in?
I had noticed.
You've been
eating since 9 o'clock, yeah?
I have. I've had a lovely scoff and quaff.
I have to tell you, listener, she's ensconced in a little turret of foodie food.
Yes. So
people have been bringing her gifts all day. She's got a chocolate stiletto.
Oh, yes.
A box of chocolates, a slab of chocolate.
Yeah.
Andrew, our guest on today's Business Bunker Show, has bought her a little selection of
gluten-free
goodies and stuff like that.
She's my new best friend.
She's three bottles down already, and it's only 1 o'clock.
Well, you know, I was trying to be good, Paul Andrews, and then I had Squareys on my show, who are a lovely country house in Westerham, and they were talking about the launch of their English sparkling wine, and this is on Scoff and Quaff Live, 11 to 12.
So you drank their entire slot.
Well, you see, they insisted. They insisted that I did. It was very nice, very pleasant. Mm. But they have a launch on the 20th and 21st. You're driving me down, aren't you?
I am indeed, yeah.
He has to pick me up from Tankerton via...
I have to scrape her up and go all the way to Tankerton to collect her to go to Westerham. That doesn't work, does it, really?
No, then pour me back.
Mm-hmm.
But great show. Do tune in. It's www.scoffquaff.co.uk if
Don't
you want to listen again. But we had beautiful chocolates as well, handmade.
Anyway,
thechocolateangel.co.uk.
Yeah, and they're fabulous stuff, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah,
chocolate and lovely angel cakes now from Andrew Weaver, who's on the Twitter at Lawyer Fair.
He is indeed.
Mm.
Anyway, did you have a nice birthday?
I had a great time. I spent the whole weekend doing things, frolicking. And I ended up...
I did see on Twitter, yes. I saw the photographs.
I ended up at Alberino's in Broadstairs, which was recommended by Mr. Harry Covert.
All right.
Or Covert. Very good tappers. And then I was paddling on Joss Bay on my own.
Were you?
Well, the family wouldn't get out in the rain. So I paddled on my own.
Well, they weren't as drunk as you, obviously.
Well, no. Well, Shay was driving.
Well, it was 3 a.m. as well, I take it.
And then I downloaded my music for the show, which I
noticed. when you handed me the stick that you downloaded after nine bottles of Cava last night, which you actually assembled your playlist for your show at 3 o'clock this morning, and then gave it to me when you arrived this morning.
Yeah, it was very good.
It was interesting, shall we say.
Yeah, all reggae. Sounded good at the time.
Yeah. Good. Anyway.
Who's our sponsor? May I ask?
Funnily enough, I was just about to tell you.
Were you?
Welcome to the show today. We'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. And a big, big thank you to our sponsors of today's show, who are jobsinkent.com. And jobsinkent.com are also pleased to announce that they have sponsored next year and Corian's Football Club. Club mascot, Sammy the Starfish.
I knew it was you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I've always wanted a marigold glove.
I think you had to with the faux pas you made about marigold gloves.
Yeah.
Because he was obviously not a marigold glove. He was obviously a starfish.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Oh, well done you. And I was going to say something else, but I've completely forgotten what I was going to say. It was something interesting.
Oh, no, it can't possibly have been.
Scintillating.
Anyway, we'd love to hear from you, the listeners out there, the businesses of Kent and South East England, and you can get in touch with us in a number of ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998, or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away the easiest way to get hold of us is to tweet me, and you can tweet me at VanillaWeb. That's at VanillaWeb, and we have already had 57 tweets, and I shall be reading some of those shortly. So do tweet us or email us or ring us on 01303 874 998. We've got a fabulous lineup of guests for you today on the show, and we'll be talking to them all later. But for the moment, I think we'll kick off with an email from Jules.
Yes, let's. Here's one what I wrote earlier. Well, this is this Thursday at 10 o'clock in Roper Road, Canterbury at Lenley's. We have Stuart Carpenter, the famous Stuart Carpenter, who's an avid Business Bunker listener, and he's going to be doing a presentation on LinkedIn and how to make it work for you. So very interesting. It's a free business tweet up. You can follow it at Kent Tweetups on the Twitter, and there's a website, www.kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk, with details. But it's this Thursday, the 29th, 10 a.m, with the fabulous Stuart Carpenter on LinkedIn.
Cool.
Also, Bartercard, Paul Andrews, appoints Simon Cohen to boost business bartering in Kent.
All right.
The UK's largest business-to-business trade exchange, Bartercard, has announced the appointment of a new brokerage director to lead the Bartercard operation in Kent. And this is Simon Cohen, who joined the business in 2009 as account manager for the brand's offices in Essex. And he'll be responsible for growing the business in the region and is already looking to appoint new business development consultants to work with existing and new members in the area. So well done to Simon. He will lead Kent businesses as well, and they currently support 85 members in the Kent region, and they're looking to recruit an additional 500 members over the next 2 years to improve local trading opportunities for Kent-based businesses. So that's Bartercard. I don't have a website for them, but we will put details, the lovely Paul Anders will put details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
I will indeed. Everything you hear on the show today will be listed on Kent Business Radio website under today's show, which is show number 175. You will be able to find all the links on the Business Bunker website should you wish to follow up with any of them. We've had a bazillion tweets. Very quickly, I'm going to flash through a few of the tweets we've had.
Can you just hold your hand out first?
Ah, not a tea bag.
It's hot.
That's boiling hot.
He's
as well.
He's so manly, listener, you see.
She's just put a hot tea bag in my hand. And what am I going to do with it now?
He is my tea boy, you see.
You can put it back on that tissue.
Okay.
I've had a tweet from Alex Waterston of F-Keys saying that they're listening in. Hi, Alex. Thank you for that. And also Alan Hayes, who is on the Twitter, Alan Talking True, Talking T-R-U. And I believe Alan runs a removals company.
He's a new listener then.
He is indeed. And Pete Bresser of Bresser Photography, Bresser's Photos on the Twitter, has tweeted in, as has John Austin Brooks of Sales Help VR. And we're really looking forward to John joining us later on the new potato show this evening.
Is he?
John's coming in for the new potato show.
What, is he singing?
No. He's a music aficionado, and he's a great fan of the new potato show, so we invited him along to partake in the show.
Baked potato, he'll be.
You did talk nonsense sometimes.
New potato, and he can be the baked potato.
Yeah, fine. I'm sure he'll appreciate
that. Off link of the show.
Yeah.
You're in for a rough ride today, Andrews, I think.
No change there. We've also had a tweet from Christine Blackledge. She says, hi, Paul. Happy Tuesday. Could you give us a shout out on the Business Bunker show for Legal Services BR? That's their Twitter handle. Legal Services BR, all one word. We open our new offices in Brighton next week.
Oh.
So thank you for that, Christine. And also a big shout out for BBS Law Network, which is a Twitter handle.
Have you noticed we've got lots of lawyers?
Yeah, with more event news to come. I think somebody must have thought we're talking about law firms on the show today.
I think it's our
friend, of course we are.
Our friend Andrew Weaver has an influence.
So they've all got in first, I think.
There's a new listener saying, please give us a mention. It's Phoenix Analysts, and they are Phoenix Analysts Limited. .weebly.com, and they are a skilled group of business analysts with over 10 years of experience in the field, offering services from business process design to data analysis in the UK. Weeblies, isn't that things that you find in your flour when it's past its sell-by date?
And that'd be weevils.
Oh. Do you ever get those?
All the time.
Yeah.
I get weevil infestations.
It is amazing, though, isn't it, that you can actually, it's a bit like, you know, you can create your own animal, can't you, in your cupboard?
Really?
Oh, weevils.
You create your own animal.
Well, you buy a bag of flour with no animals in it, and then you open it one day and there's little things marching about.
Oh, I see. And you think that they were made out of flour and the other ingredients hanging around at the back of your cupboard.
Well, it's grow your own, isn't it? Grow your own weevil.
Grow your own weevil. Yeah. Well, that will work, wouldn't it?
I always find it fascinating.
Yeah, well, because what the live things that run around your cupboards?
It's the nearest you'll
ever get.
Including
Billy Dean.
Oh, well, he's still in my cupboard.
For quite a while now.
Yeah.
I saw the smoke signals. We've had a tweet from another new listener, bta.eu, on the Twitter. And that's, let me find out what they do. Bta.eu are Business Technology Alliance. Apparently, they're a team of professional technology specialists who collaborate together to produce solutions for their clients. So that's bta.eu, and they say it's not Monday.
No.
It's Tuesday, and therefore it's the Business Bunker Day. And we're listening to Vanilla Whip, that's me, and Jill Serkin, that's her, on Kent Business Radio. So thank you for that, bta.eu.
And the fabulous videographer, that's what he's called, Justin Dean, that's at Justin W. Dean. He says he's listening in today. Happy birthday, me. And he says, please mention at Digital in Kent and their monthly meetup is this Thursday at the Abode. Oh, I do like the Abode. So I might trot along.
I think Justin's speaking at that as well.
Is he?
If I remember rightly.
On videos and...
corporate videos.
Yeah, good idea. Mm. Stephen Jenner is also listening, and he says, can you please mention Phoenix Analysts, which I've done. Good. See, I'm very, very diligent.
Are you by any chance reading from the top of my Twitter list?
Could be. Christopher Pollard.
She is.
Ask the old boy if Ginger and Jasmine are coming out for a spin in the MG later. Love a spin. And that's, if you want to follow this conversation, it's at Snake Hips. That's at and then S for sugar and then Snake Hips. Very debonair man living in Tankerton. No, Tenterton. Never the twain shall meet. So do follow him.
I have no idea what they're waffling about, listener. Chris Pollard and Jill Serkin have this little kind of thing going between them about something or other, and none of us know what they're talking about, so we just let them get on with it.
Well, you see, Chris needs a little bit of attention because the lovely Miriam's up her mountain now, isn't she?
She is indeed, yes. We had a tweet from her earlier saying that she's listening in from Turkey. So welcome, Miriam. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
I've got an exclusive here, Paul Andrews, for our listener.
Go on.
Venom Tech tweeting in.
Right.
Hello, Business Bunker. Thought you and your listeners would love to know our news. We're moving to Discovery Park on Wednesday.
Oh, well done.
Well done.
Cool, because they're at the university at the moment.
Yeah.
So, congratulations, Venom Tech, going from strength to strength.
I wonder if that means they're getting a bigger...
Bigger
office.
Snakes.
Boas. I'm supposed to go and visit them, actually, but I'm not sure if they, you know, keep me safe when you go.
No, well, last time I went up there, I was picking a birthday present for you, but they ran out of Black Widows.
Very amusing.
Mm-hmm. I've had an email here from Swan Staff Recruitment, and they're delighted to announce that they've been recognised as one of the UK's best workplaces in the medium category by the Great Place to Work Institute UK. This award recognises their outstanding achievements not only as an employer, but also as a highly successful recruitment business. It recognises their ability to support both clients and a wide variety of candidates by placing the right person in the right job at the right time. Stephen Rogers, who is the Managing Director of Swan Staff Recruitment, said, "I'm incredibly proud that Swan Staff has been acknowledged by this award. It's a testament to the hard work and incredible dedication of all of our wonderful staff. Our successful and growing business is built on a winning combination of our core values and the support we provide our staff through personal training to achieve their goals. We believe that by recognising the achievement of our staff and saying thank you creates not only a positive working environment but also a great place to work." And that's Swan Staff Recruitment Consultants. So well done to them. Great stuff. Another award for a great small Kent business. Good. Have you given up with a Twitter now?
No, I'm just flitting about from one Twitter handle to another. Victoria Ansell has been elected Vice President of the Kent Law Society. So congratulations to Victoria Ansell. And she's from the Tunbridge Wells-based law firm, Cooper Burnett. Well done. She's been elected Vice President of them. And she is part of the company and commercial team at Cooper Burnett, and she'll be supporting the new president of the Kent Law Society, Deborah Hatton, from Hatton Law in Chatham. And well done there, guys. She's also chairman of the board of the Kent Law Society Services Limited, and that's the company that provides the training courses to members and others. And she says that over the next 12 months, she'll be supporting Deborah Hatton as president and learning as much as she can about what she'll be taking on next year. And beyond that, the Kent Law Society, she says, has just had its inaugural awards, and she'll be looking forward to following that up and seeing what she can do to improve that for the next year so that even more Kent practitioners are nominated. Well done, Victoria Ansell.
Great, well done. That's Cooper Burnett over there in Tunbridge. Yeah, good stuff. I'm going to do one more tweet. We've had a tweet from Nigel Whittaker, who says, Business Masterminds to Share Knowledge is happening tonight at 5:30 at the Abbots Barton Hotel in Canterbury. So be there, or be square. And he's also said, and at 12 o'clock tomorrow in the Hotel Devin in Tunbridge Wells. Have a great show today. I'm listening in. So thank you for that, Nigel. So that's Business Masterminds, 5:30 this evening at Abbots Barton in Canterbury, and 12 tomorrow in the Hotel Devin in Tunbridge Wells.
Is it nice, the Hotel Devin?
It is very nice. Have you not been?
No.
It is a very nice place.
No, I don't get out much, you know me.
No.
Bit of a home bird.
You can't stagger off the beach, can you, really?
No, I'm a bit of a home bird.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I've got a blast here.
Go for it.
A business networking event like no other. And this is from the Enterprise Foundation. That's the venue.
Yeah, no, it's the Kent Foundation. Business Foundation, isn't it?
It says, well, yes, probably. It's the 10th of June, 4:30 to 6:30. And it is at the Enterprise Foundation, which is Medvale House, Moat Road in Maidstone, Kent. Mm-hmm. And to book your place, you need to email ablast@kentfoundation.org. And this will be a room packed with business owners, professionals, young entrepreneurs and business startups from all across Kent. And it's an evening to celebrate Kent and its thriving business community. And come and be a part of it. We would love to see you there, they say. So that's 10th of June, 4:30 to 6:30 at the Enterprise Foundation in Moat Road, Maidstone.
Fabulous. And that's from the Kent Foundation. It's run by Paul Barron, which is a foundation for young entrepreneurs in Kent. Do get along. I get invited to that every year, and I've never made one because they normally hold them on a Tuesday when I'm here. But I would love to get along to one. I mean, they're supposed to be really good, so do try and get along to that if you can.
Tuesday's a long day for you, isn't it?
It is.
We have new potatoes at 9 p.m.
Yeah, I should be home by one. Hey, look. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage?
Bit of tunage.
Something seasonal?
Well, no, really. I just decided to pick a bit of Jimmy Summerfield.
Don't Leave Me This Way?
Yeah.
Does he wear those tight trousers?
Not on the radio, no.
And prance about?
He does prance about a lot.
Yeah. Good song, though.
It's a good choice, though, isn't
good it? Good tunage, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
We could do a bit of disco to this, couldn't we?
We could, yeah.
You first.
Okay, after you.
Little twirl.
Yeah, mind the bottles.
Yeah.
Thank you. Need temporary employment? Call Temp Network on 01892 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back, Jimmy Somerville and the Coignards there. Did you enjoy that?
I did. Yeah, I loved your gold lamé trousers you're wearing.
Yeah.
Sorry, you caught me mid-tweet. Yeah, he was. He used to have that sort of short ginger hair.
He certainly did.
Look.
Yeah.
Bit like your hairstyle, really, except you're not ginger.
Except I'm not ginger and mine's not short, it's gone.
Yeah, so was that your sort of disco era?
Kind of. I wasn't particularly into that, but yeah.
What were you into?
Punk.
You were a punk rocker. Punk. But I heard that you won rock and roll.
Oh, that was when I was about 15 or so, yeah.
Did you used to wear creepers?
No, I actually, if I remember rightly, during that particular competition, I was wearing Cuban heel winkle pickers.
So, now.
Not a lot has changed, really, in 40-odd years. Yeah. Yeah.
So you've had them resold?
Nah. Nah, they lasted.
So what song was it you'd, groove to? Whatever it's called, it's Jive. I think you did tell me once, it was Little Richard, wasn't it, Little Richard?
No, I can't remember. It was, No, it's Gene Vincent, I think. I can't remember.
I suppose it was quite a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, yeah. Somebody blagged me into putting up a photograph of me when I was 18.
Yeah, I saw George Harrison, I said.
Yeah.
Very much like George Harrison.
Sadly, that was my nickname at school because that was the thought of the day, yeah.
And I think you were wearing a tank top, weren't you?
I probably was, yeah. And only a tank top.
Yeah. Very fetching.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show.
Let's weave our way back.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think we're going to introduce some decorum and sensibility.
Let's weave our way back.
Yeah, no, I got it. I'm just ignoring it. I did get it.
Talking of weevils, you see, earlier, it's all not thrown together, is it, this show? Weevils, weave our way back.
No, it's not thrown together. It's picked up physically and hurled is what it actually is. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show for the first time, Mr. Andrew Weaver. Now you understand, listener, what she was going on about.
A marvellous segue, I have to say.
Yeah.
Professional.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you come down and visit us. Why don't you tell the listener a little bit about you and a little bit about your business, because you're the chief executive of Lawyers Fair, are you not?
Without the S, actually, Paul. I have to correct him immediately. Jules said that I had to correct you on all mistakes that happened.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you very much for the invitation, and I'm thoroughly enjoying the show here. I was sitting back and relaxing and enjoying not needing to talk.
And did you realise you had to share a chair and you've fallen through between each chair?
It's a glamorous environment.
Yeah. One cheek on each.
Can I also say, I do think you've got something unique here. I was listening to the previous show. Happy to be corrected with this, but I think you're the only business show in the UK, if not the world, that can reference within the same show the changes of regulation to flexible working, which is coming in, and General Gel.
Yes.
I may be wrong.
No, I think you're probably right.
I may be wrong, but listen, thanks for the invite. I am the CEO, which is rather a grand title for my role within Lawyer Fair. Lawyer Fair essentially is a legal or lawyer comparison site,
right.
And we operate pretty much the same as every other comparison site you've ever encountered, really. If you want to find a lawyer, then you can put your requirement into the website and we will provide you with comparisons. It's slightly more complicated and complex than that because of the nature of what we do and what we provide, but that's essentially what Lawyer Fair is.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the business and how you came across the idea and what your background is. Are you a lawyer yourself? Or?
No, I've got a bit of a mixed background, actually. I was a barrister's clerk in a former life many years ago. I worked in a wonderful criminal set of chambers up in Manchester, and we prosecuted various lovely cases like Dr. Shipman and one or two really tremendous, really
Harold
fun. Harold Shipman, yes.
Wow.
Yes, and we also dealt with some Leeds United footballers who were misbehaving, so it was a really fun time.
Right.
But it wasn't quite for me, so I left that about 10 or 15 years ago, and since then have been involved mainly in corporate deals, actually,
right.
Which comes from... Actually, my original background is SME family businesses.
Right.
And so I wanted to go back to that, and I ended up launching a corporate deals firm. And from that, actually, I've ended up investing and mentoring a variety of SMEs. So it's a bit of a mixed background that actually has come together quite nicely.
Right.
And we launched Lawyer Fair at the end of September last year.
Right.
Actually, the same day we launched this, 4 weeks early, my daughter arrived as well, so it's quite a day.
Oh, right.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, Mummy's not happy that I compare the birth of a business with a baby, obviously, but it was quite a day. So we launched at the end of September, and we're concentrating at the moment on the southeast, although it is a UK-wide service. And in fact, one of the reasons I'm excited to be coming down here is actually Kent has proven to be a really good source of work for us. So we've had leads and inquiries coming in from a number of places, Canterbury, Gillingham, Swanley, I just think off the top of my head from last week only. So Kent is proving to be really an interesting area for us. And essentially, businesses get in touch with us when they need a lawyer for a variety of reasons. Can be something very straightforward, can be something quite complex. So we can pretty much handle anything.
Right.
Only about a third of the leads that come through actually get out to our panel of lawyers, because a number of leads tend to be either too small or they don't require the legal assistance. But either way, we'll try and assist or recommend the best route for the inquiry that comes through.
Okay, so let's make sure that I understand how this works, because I'm a bit slow on the uptake sometimes. So basically, I think I have a requirement that will need a lawyer. Let me think of something fairly non-controversial. So saying I've started a small business and I think, you know, I need a contract drawn up that protects my copyright or protects my intellectual property or something without being too grandiose about it. So I find lawyerfair.co.uk.
.com.
Lawyerfair.com. And I go in there, and then what do I do? Can I express what I'm looking for, or...
Yeah, I mean, let me answer that in two ways.
Ring them up, that's what I'd do.
Well, of course. Yeah, thank you for that, Jules.
I would ring you.
I need to bring you into the team.
I'd ring you, Andrew.
You could ring my mobile, my personal direct line, obviously,
thank you.
Jules.
Got it.
You can ring or you can email, but we do have a process online where we do, you can actually submit your information direct.
Right.
Okay. Now, there are two answers to that. One is to actually say, well, there's a traditional way, and still a lot of people will use that, and traditionally, people have tended to go for or tended to instruct people that they've had recommended or are quite local.
Yeah.
And what we try and provide, and people still can, of course, and do go on that route, what we try and provide is a wider choice and a bit more competition on fees. So I just wanted to put it in context. So if you want to use a service like ours and get a bit more choice and competition, you'll put your information into the website. And within 24 hours, we match that with appropriate lawyers. And within 24 hours, you'll have up to 3 different quotations from lawyers who are experts in that particular piece of law as well.
Right.
So we're able to drill down into niche expertise. And of those 3 lawyers, you'll get profiles and background reviews and information, and you can make your choice from there.
Okay.
Now it is, because of the way that law works, and they are often complicated issues, we don't necessarily expect you to make a choice then. You can speak to the individual lawyers if required, but that's the platform from where you can make your decision.
Right, okay. I get that. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
And as somebody using that service, is there a cost to me to use it?
It is, and I love operating a business that I can say this, it is completely free.
Right, okay.
There is no cost at all to use it. I mean, we get paid, just to be completely transparent, we get paid by the lawyers that win the work.
Right.
So actually, for the lawyers as well, if there are lawyers listening, we think it's a pretty no-risk way of promoting your services, because you don't pay until you win the work.
Oh, I see. So even the lawyers don't pay unless, you know, apart from the winning bid.
I have to caveat that. There is a very small application fee, but there is no fee for pitching.
Yeah, okay.
You can tell he works for lawyers. He's got a caveat there.
Yeah.
I've got a few more legal words to come in.
Yeah. See, I thought a caveat was a silk thing. You went, oh, no, that's a cravat.
Yeah, that's what's making it.
How do you know about caveats with a punk rock background?
I know. Oh, it's sad, isn't it, really? Okay, so and you launched last September, did you say?
Yeah, end of September, and we are, in fact, we're in the process now of raising some angel funding. I know that you're involved in angel investments, Paul. So because we've had a really good response, and I think, I mean, I'm a great fan. I know a lot of startups and young businesses listen. But I'm a great fan of a book called The Lean Startup. I don't know if you've come across it.
Oh,
Eric Ries.
Eric Ries. It's just a brilliant book. I mean, I made all those classic mistakes in the past of over-engineering my old businesses and wasting an awful lot of time.
Yeah.
So we felt comfortable and confident with our research that there was a need for this service. And there's a lot of change going on in legal services, which I won't bore you with unless you really want me to bore you, but there's a lot of change going on. So we're kind of part of that wave of change. And we felt confident it was needed, but the initial platform was quite basic, and it really is just a simple matching process. But we're really keen to emphasise that this is not about driving down lawyers' fees necessarily to attack the law firm. It actually is a platform for great law firms as well. We're really keen to get good quality firms on the platform and really just match together so that it's a good fit for both sides.
It's interesting. And one of the things I really like about what you're doing, because I think it will help this, I speak to and I deal with, and I know loads and loads and loads and loads of micro and small businesses, people that are just starting up their businesses or indeed have been running a little while but are still incredibly small businesses. And quite often they will come to me and ask my advice on a legal issue. Now, I don't know what they expect me to say, because I'm not a lawyer. I've never been a lawyer. I'm never going to be a lawyer. And I understand when they ask me, they just think I may have had experience because I've been in business a long time and I'm probably the oldest person I know that they know that's still compos mentis to some degree.
Are you?
Even more Latin.
Are you compos mentis?
Yeah. Well, you know, borderline compos mentis. And quite often I'll say to them, well, get a lawyer, basically. And they go, yeah, well, don't want to go that route. Why? There is this big thing that it's, you know, everything's going to cost an absolute arm and a leg and they're not going to get what they want and they're going to be driven down a route where, you know, somebody's going to say to them, oh, and then you need this and then you need that and then you need this. And my experience of lots of different law firms, and I've dealt with lots of different law firms over the years, is none of them are like that, really. They'll do what you ask them to do, basically. They're a business like anybody else. If you say, I want this, they'll say, we think you ought to have this. But if you go, no, I want A, they'll do A. And I think a site like yours, one of the things that will be a massive benefit is that it will make people feel more comfortable because they can have a range of choices where they don't just, you know, go and find whoever the law firm was that did the conveyancing on their house when they move, which is a lot of people's only experience of the law, and ask them. Because one of the other things is that nowadays, especially, there are lots of things that not all law firms are equally as good at as well, especially in the new digital world and intellectual property and copyright and all kinds of international types of approaches to things. So I think what you're doing is going to be a fabulous addition to that, because it will make a lot of people feel more comfortable about getting professional advice.
Well, you covered an awful lot there, and most of it I agree. I mean, there is an issue, whether it's perception or reality, there is an issue. There was a survey done by the Legal Services Board last year of SMEs, and it found that 7 in 8 SMEs didn't think they got value from their lawyer.
Right.
Now, I think there is a perception problem there as well as a reality problem, because I think, as you say, a lot of lawyers I know are excellent. But the lawyers have had it their own way for a long time. Mm. It has been a supply-led profession, and it's changing to demand-led now.
Yeah.
There is more choice, more ability to choose, more ability to compare, whether it's our site or other facilities. Mm. So there's a big change going on. And also, I would say, just on the very bottom end of types of business, the startup and the smaller business, where budget is crucial, clearly, there are also lots of providers out there, if we're honest, that actually can provide now fixed fee packages, very low cost fixed fee packages, of which we don't. Mm. We are working with a traditional firm, has a traditional cost base. They're competing on fees, but the very small pieces of work. But what I would say is two things. First of all, you really do need to get some proper legal advice. I mean, I you know, you, Paul, have probably experienced this. I certainly have. Shareholders agreement. If you don't get it right at the beginning, it can come back to bite you in two ways. One, if you fall out with each other.
Yeah.
But two, if you try and sell the business, you've got a poor amount of, if your contracts are in poor condition, it could really bite you in terms of the value of the business. So there are lots of reasons why you need to get those foundation blocks in place.
Yeah.
And cost and access has been an issue. But it's changing. Whether it's our site or whether it's, there's a site that we know very well called Lawbite. Very happy to promote them on here as well. And they're an excellent site. It's all about fixed fee costs.
Right.
So there's certainty for the business owner of what they're getting.
Mm, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more about shareholders' agreements. It's like anything. It's almost like a prenup, isn't it? Because when you're all loved up at first, you know, you just don't want to think about things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's going, oh, I love your business idea and I love your money and let's all get together and we're in this time next year, Rodney will be billionaires and all that kind of stuff. And you don't think about it, but so often business partnerships, even more than marriages, end in divorce. And that paperwork is crucial at that stage. And I've been there so many times and had so many arguments where people go, it'll be all right. Why don't we just download something off the internet? And you go, absolutely not.
Absolutely.
No, we need a proper, well thought out shareholders agreement here. Yeah. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah. And it's not as expensive as people think. That's
absolutely.
That's the key to it.
What's the starting range of money, roughly, off the top of your head?
That is a really difficult
question. With a caveat.
I'm going to caveat everything I say in response to that. No, it's a very difficult one. I mean, Lawbite, for example, and they're not the only people. I mean, I think they do packages from £99.
Excellent.
And they have a bit of legal advice in the background to help if things go wrong. So.
It's amazing how much difference it makes. I just talking to a lawyer and having a letter from a lawyer, how much difference just having that can make to sort things out.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And just a quick thing, Paul, that survey again, and this is really alarming, said that 52% of businesses, this really is what you were saying, 52% of businesses don't even get legal help when they should do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of those issues that you're talking about.
It is one of those things that the longer you're in business, the more you realise how important that kind of stuff is. It's just like insurance. Isn't it? You know, a lot of people go, cost of insurance, but they never think about the cost of not being insured.
Without insurance.
Yeah. And, you know, whilst it's a cost risk analysis, at the end of the day, you have to do it. And it is money well spent. Mm. And people don't realize, in business contracts especially, shareholders agreements in particular, and other kinds of legal documentation at the outset of a business, if you don't put that in place well up front, no matter what you do, whether your business is successful or not successful, it will come back to bite you at some stage. So I'm a great believer in doing that now. And I had a classic example of that myself about a year or so ago. I bought another business. And I had to do it really quickly, so I deliberately didn't go through the full due diligence process, and I knew I wasn't going to do that, and that's not a clever thing to do. So I had my lawyers draw up a specific contract between me and the seller that identified a few of those issues and said, you promise that you're not going to come back and bite me with any of this. And they had their lawyers, da-da-da-da-da. And 18 months later, something reared itself out of the woodwork. And they went, oh, well, you should have done due diligence. And I went, you forgot you signed a contract, didn't you? And they went, oh.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm. So protected. So I totally agree with you, Andrew. It, you know, people sometimes think they're saving money, but they're not.
Mm. And also, you know, they're probably mates launching the business. It's the last thing that's on their mind, but it is an important thing to consider.
Yeah. No, it's, as I said, it's like a marriage, isn't it, really? You're all loved up and... what could possibly go wrong?
As Paul McCartney said.
Yeah.
When he married Heather Mills.
Don't start.
Remember?
Yeah, don't start.
She was not pleasant, was she?
No, anyway. Whatever. Allegedly.
I think Jules is the controversialist in the show.
So the kind of services that you're putting people in touch with, is it predominantly business? Is it personal stuff?
I should have actually defined that right at the beginning. We only deal with commercial leads.
Okay.
We're the only site that does dedicates itself to commercial leads. There are one or two that do consumer leads and a little bit of crossover. No, we dedicate ourselves, and it's based actually, Paul, again, bearing in mind your background, that my co-founder and I are both investors and work with SMEs, and it came out of some experiences that we'd had.
Right.
And we wanted to go for niche. We wanted to say, well, this is what we are going to dedicate ourselves to.
Right.
So our panel are experts in and again, rather than having lawyer firms on our panel, we have individual lawyers.
Right, okay.
And it goes again to your point about the niche expertise, and one of the things that one of the many things the internet gives us is the ability to drill very quickly into niche,
right.
And this is the case with lawyers as well. So if you for example, if you have a slightly esoteric area, I mean M&A for example, there are certain lawyers that may say they do it, but because we vet them and they have to sign our service standards, we make sure that they have done it,
right?
Because it's so crucial. So if you come into us, and we get a lot of M&A inquiries coming through the system. So if you're wanting to buy or sell a business and you want an expert, we'll find you three within 24 hours.
Okay. So basically, that you would find me someone that could handle the entire transaction, not just an individual.
Yeah, and also bear in mind one thing as well, and lawyers will flinch a little at this. They have always traditionally said, well, you know, we can't do fixed fee, particularly in M&A. M&A is a good area. We can't do fixed fee. Couldn't possibly predict what's going to happen. Yeah. Well, actually, you're about the only... that puts all the commercial risk on the buyer of your services.
Yeah.
And there are very, very few commercial areas where that still exists.
Yeah.
So the lawyers that we have, you can't always quote fixed fee, but we almost insist that it's at least indicative, if not fixed. And M&A is a good example. It is unpredictable. I know that because I worked in it.
Yeah.
However, if you've done 10 pieces of work in a certain area, let's say an M&A, you can begin to average out what it's likely to cost.
Absolutely.
So we do insist, and the lawyers that join us have to sign up to these standards, that, you know, you are at all times trying to drive fixed fee certainty for the buyer of your services.
Yeah.
And that's proving to be quite tricky for some of them.
Yeah, sure.
Just because of the cost base, it's difficult for them sometimes to ascertain that.
And they haven't been used to being pinned
Absolutely.
Down to that as
Absolutely.
Well. You know, you quite often find that, certainly not so much now because I'm switched on to it. In the early days, you know, you'd say to somebody, well, how much is this going to cost me? And they go, well, roughly so-and-so to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And then the bill will be treble.
Yeah.
And you go, well, hold on, how did you arrive at that?
You don't want surprises in business.
Yeah, and what it is they told you what the legal fees were, but they forgot to tell you about the displacements and all the other stuff that was bunged on the top. Oh, and it included VAT too. That's something that's changing.
And it doesn't happen anywhere else apart from professional services.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I foolishly many years ago allowed a builder to do an hourly rate. I had the most expensive patio in the world, because of course he took forever. And legal services and accountants and also corporate finance brokers, they tend to work in this old-fashioned world of hourly rates, hourly billing, and it's wrong, really.
Yeah.
And it has to change.
Yeah, and it is changing.
It is changing.
And I suspect that organisations like yours were at the forefront of getting that changed as well.
Oh, I hope
because,
so.
You know, because it is interesting what you were saying, Andrew, about how competitive it's suddenly become. Like a lot of the rest of the world, technology and the internet has opened up things to people where they can check and they can, you know, they can actually get feedback. It's almost like TripAdvisor in not such a
flippant way.
Well, no. I was thinking TripAdvisor itself is specifically for getting feedback.
Mm.
But even if there isn't a specific, you know, a lawyer feedback site, the internet itself will soon tell you anyone that's got a bad reputation. You know, we know, you know, from all the people that follow us on Twitter, that we've seen things posted on Twitter about various local companies, and you think, well, that's not going to go down too well. And the fact is, you know, somebody's been hurt or upset by someone, and it goes viral, and people find out now. So, you know, there's a lot more choice in the world, and there's a lot more service to be delivered. Absolutely. Go on.
Christopher Pollard, that's at Chris Connector, is listening in. He says to Andrew, a sound shareholder agreement is crucial. 1 hour of setting up or months of grief when it goes wrong, Andrew.
Couldn't agree more. And the other quick thing about shareholder agreement, and again, working in M&A, I know this, people don't think about the end game. They don't think about exiting the business and what value. You haven't got these agreements in place, it can look very messy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've got a good chance of losing a buyer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, because there's all the things, you know, if a business is successful, do you stay or do you go? That's punk. That's punk MA. It's punk MA. Do we stay or do we go? You know, do we sell or do we, grow?
I didn't like them at that end of the career, to be honest. It's more of an early stage cash flow.
Yeah, me too. Sham 69. Anyway, enough of that.
And more champagne 69.
Give us a shout for your website.
Lawyerfair.com.
Okay. And give us a shout for your Twitter handle, Facebook page, or any of those kind
of
things.
At LawyerFair. I don't think we have Facebook. We might have Facebook, but we're not that keen on it.
But mainly you're on Twitter. And LinkedIn, I guess.
And LinkedIn as well. At LawyerFair or at ActWeaver66, which is me.
Just to point out that the fair is F-A-I-R.
Thank you.
Not a fair. Old fair.
The oldie fairy. So we wish you much less success with this venture, Andrew. So you're nearly a year old? Coming up.
How old is my baby? 8 months.
What is your baby, male or female?
It's female.
And
she gave me a lovely warm smile as I left this morning.
Does she have a name?
Ainara.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, Spanish mum.
Ah, hola.
Yeah.
Hola. Hola. So what's her name?
Ainara.
Ainara. Lovely.
Cool. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Funk Show. It's been a pleasure to hear from you and a pleasure to hear about your business. Fascinating business. I'm sure lots of people over the coming days when they listen back to this or have thought about it will tweet in some more questions for you, which you can answer because we've posted your Twitter account out there. But for the moment, do stay with us for as long as you want. But for the moment, Andrew Weaver, LawyerFair.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
Now Andrew can have one of his chocolates. I wouldn't allow him to have one. They've been sent in by the fabulous The Chocolate Angel, which is www.thechocolateangel.co.uk, and they were on the Scoff Quaff Show.
All my favourite ones have gone, though.
I know. Well, I got in with the salted caramel straight away.
All right.
And our other guests, of course, have gone and chosen some nice ones.
Okay, we've had some tweets from ADM Computing in Canterbury saying they're listening in, and we've also had Lee from the Ancorians Football Club, who would like to thank jobsinkent.com for sponsorship of Sammy the Starfish.
I wonder whether Jobs in Kent can find a driver for Riverford Kent.
They could if they advertised it.
They're looking for a 3-day-a-week driver.
Of course they could.
For their van.
Well, of course they could. All they've got to do is advertise
in the Canterbury Triangle.
There you go.
Jobsinkent.com.
Put it on jobsinkent. They'll fill it in about an hour.
They will.
Stephen Jenner has tweeted in, and also I did see a tweet go through, but I can't find it now. I'll find it again in a minute.
Have you lost your marbles?
No, it's just there's hundreds and hundreds of tweets, and there was one particularly that I saw that I thought, well, that's interesting. It was about a number of people.
There's a D-Day commemorations at Normandy for War and Peace Revival, Paul Andrews. The organisers of the War and Peace Revival will be taking part in the 70th anniversary of D-Day by taking their Sherman Barv. What is a Sherman Barv, we ask?
Sherman tank.
It's BARV. It's a beach armoured recovery vehicle.
Well, so you answered your own question.
I know, I'm so clever.
Read the emails properly.
Back to Normandy.
Everybody knows what a BARV is.
Normandy. Now, they do that lovely apple brandy, don't they, there? I've had many a tot
When you stagger up the beach, they arrive with a tray.
With a beach armoured recovery vehicle.
Yeah, with brandy on it.
It went into action back in June 1944. You'd remember that day, wouldn't you, Paul?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Sherman Barv was built especially for D-Day, so it's likely to be one of the very few vehicles that can say with almost certainty that it was on the Normandy beaches during the 1944 invasion, apart from Paul Andrews. I'm sure he was there with a little towel spread out. It's owned by Rex and Rod Cadman and is the only running one in the world. And they say, Rex says, I wanted it as soon as I saw it. And he is the organiser of the War and Peace Revival. And he bought it nearly 13 years ago. He says it's an unusual beast. And there are only 4 or 5 left. And this is the only one that runs. So if you want to know about this revival in 2014, let's take you to the website, which is www.thewarandpeacerevival.co.uk. The BARV is returning to Normandy, and the schedule thus far, they say, is the 6th of June. It'll drive along the Arromanche beach from Asnel. I hope I'm saying that right. And then on the 7th of June, there'll be a liberation parade through the town of Port-en-Bessin. Bessin. B-E-S-I-N.
Cool.
Mais oui.
Cool. We've had a tweet from ABC Networks, and they say there are 18 of us listening in from my Millionaire Mindset seminar.
Oh.
Big thanks to Vanilla Webb, that's me, Jill Serkin, and fascinated listening to Andrew.
So they're listening?
Yeah, 18 of them.
You see, that's the thing with our listener things. It's very hard to tell how many people listen when they're all crammed into one thing.
One little shed.
One little room.
Yeah. Chris Pollard is crammed into one little chair.
Yeah?
He says, hello, bunkerers, I'm listening from the office chair.
Oh.
Hashtag I'm in charge.
For once.
So it's his turn in the chair this week.
Yeah. Well,
that's cool, isn't it?
Telco are listening in, a telecommunications system there.
Over in Medway, yeah. Rochester City Estate.
Yeah, sales and maintenance of telephone systems. Cool. That's Lisa Marie's bunch.
British Chamber of Commerce Awards 2014 is now open for entry. The Chamber Awards are considered to be one of the UK's most hotly contested and prestigious business awards. The Chamber Awards recognise and reward excellence in British business, and each year, organisations of all sizes and from all sectors compete for the coveted titles and prizes on offer. We are now open for entries in the following categories: Small Business of the Year, Manufacturer of the Year, Best Use of Technology to Improve Business Performance, Young Person in Business Award, Achievement in International Business, the Sustainability Award, Commitment to People Development, Entrepreneur of the Year, and Excellence in Innovation. The awards are open for entry until the 27th of June, and regional winners will be announced on the 22nd of September. The Chamber Awards programme will then conclude with the prestigious Gala Awards dinner on Thursday the 27th of November at the Pavilion at the Tower of London.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Losers will be executed. Where one business will be awarded Business of the Year and walk away with the prizes, and everyone else will be... No.
Sorry, I'm not listening.
I know you're not.
I'm tweeting.
The awards are free for members of accredited chambers of commerce to enter, And they are, you can enter as a non-member as well. So if you want to find out more about that, go to their website, which is www.chamberawards.co.uk. That's chamberawards.co.uk.
I went to the Whitstable Chamber of Commerce meeting the t'other Monday. I think it was last Monday. The Alamo was held. And
was it?
I only really go there because the Moroccan food is just divine.
We wouldn't have known that.
I sit through the meeting and then we all get to tuck into this lovely homemade Moroccan at the Alamo in Whitstable.
Cool. I've had a tweet from Felicity Dunderdale. She says, hello, Vanilla Webb. There's an introduction to golf for women on the 11th of June. And one lucky attendee will win a DS3 Cabrio for the weekend, too. So you can find out about that. She has given me a link, which I'll put on the Kent Business Radio website that you can follow up on. But if you want to find out right now, you can follow Felicity on the Twitter at 4_women. That's FORE_women, WOMEN.
As opposed to women. Underhand women.
I didn't possibly say that.
How do you sleep, Paul Andrews?
How do I sleep?
Yeah.
In a bed.
Not sleeping well?
I sleep fine.
Tired during the day?
No.
Feel you could do with more energy?
No.
Why not join Ashley's sleep challenge? You failed with every one of those.
I know, I wasn't.
You're not helping at all.
I'm not a sucker. When you start asking me questions like that, I'm very wary.
I'm going to ask Andrew Weaver.
Yeah.
Why not join our sleep challenge? This is a five group sessions. It's held on Mondays, 6 to 7 p.m. at Concord House Clinic, and it's starting on June the 9th. And in the sleep challenge, you will understand better your sleep patterns, find out what is your best sleeping environment, a bed, I would think, put together a sleep strategy that works for you, learn practical, easy exercises that will get you back to sleeping well, and discover how to switch off the mind, have a restful sleep, and wake up refreshed and rested. £60 only for the whole sleep challenge. So it goes from June the 9th up until the 21st. So as I said, it's five group sessions. It's Florence Parot, who was on our show a while back. You can email Florence on contact@sophraacademy, S for sugar, roacademy.co.uk. And she's an international expert in stress and sleep management. And she's also written a book. So you can contact Florence to find out more.
Fabulous. We've had a tweet from Cal Dalkagi. He said, I'm tuned into the Business Bunker and listening to the guys there while I slurp my hot soup for lunch.
Ooh.
So welcome, Kim. Thank you for
that. I
wonder
what type of soup.
We don't know. But
yeah.
But wherever Kim is, it's a gloomy, wet day.
Could be caveat soup.
Mm. F-Keys, the Microsoft training company, have announced evening classes for Microsoft Office 2013 and Office 365 taking place in Canterbury. If you'd like to know more about them, you can call Alex on 01227, that's Canterbury, 01227 451 227. Canterbury 451 227 and ask for Alex. And I do recommend Alex's courses. They are brilliantly good.
I do. Have you done one?
I have done one. He sorted out, he did a one-to-one with me on my Microsoft Outlook. And having used Outlook for nearly 120 years...
Between jiving.
He spent an hour with me sorting out my Outlook, and my productivity just went through the roof. I actually answered emails that I got 4 years ago.
Perhaps I could have him. I've got a Mac, though, so do I. I don't use Microsoft, do I, if I've got a Mac?
You can, but you probably don't.
Maybe I'll discuss it with him.
I would discuss it with
over
him.
Over cream buns. This is from the Friars Aylesford, and it's Hello Business Bunker. On the 25th of July, tell your listeners, please, we have an outside performance of Romeo and Juliet. Bring your own picnic, wine, and enjoy this performance. Oh, that sounds lovely. So that's the 25th of July. You can get, I'm going to give you a phone number, so get your pen ready. It's only £16, and this is from Lee, and it's 01622 717 272. That's 01622 717 272, and that's from Lee, and that's at the Friars Aylesford on the 25th of July. Romeo and Juliet, bring your own picnic. I quite fancy that.
You've been told off on the Twitter.
Oh, what have I done now?
By Justin Dean.
He
says,
yeah.
No, Jew Sirkin, I'm not a videographer.
Oh, what is he
that's,
then?
That's the wedding's lot. He's a video producer and director.
Well, he does
don't
videos.
Malign him.
He does videos.
Don't malign him.
So you
sorry
can only
that,
be
Justin.
A videographer if you do weddings.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, yeah. So he's a producer.
Mm. And Amy at Amy at AM Marketing is also listening into the Business Bunker Show. Saying it's a great show, guys. Thoroughly enjoying it. So thank you very much for
She's not telling me off.
No, she isn't. Not yet.
Not yet.
She probably will later.
She probably will.
Anyway, we've got another 20 or 30 tweets, and I can't read them all because we're going to run out of time otherwise. What we're going to do now...
Tunage?
...is we're going to play a bit more tunage, and when we come back, we're going to speak to our next guest. What do you reckon?
Who have we got?
Water Boys.
Oh, really?
Mm.
This is old, isn't it? The Hole of the Moon, isn't it?
Pretty much most of it, yeah.
Is there an eclipse? Only when you turn round.
I wandered out in the world for years.
Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous water-based Jules Serkin.
Just pouring Andrew's water out for him.
For the third time.
It's jolly hot in here, isn't it?
It is warm in here, yeah.
I think I'm dehydrated.
Yeah, quite possibly. That would be nothing to do with the 19 bottles of Prosecco you've consumed over the last 8 hours.
And then you bought me another one just to keep me topped up.
I did, yeah. It's funny.
You're leading
it's funny
astray.
Watching you. Yeah. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker our next guest, Mr. Richard Murray of Canterbury Communicators, and also he's brought along his lovely wife Yoka.
Yes.
Hello Yoka. And we're going to talk to both of them because they're both very interesting people, but we're going to start with Richard. Welcome Richard, tell us a little bit about what you do and Toastmasters, which you're involved in, and Canterbury Communicators.
Well, we'll clear one thing up first. Looked at with the Toastmasters with nothing to do with people in red jackets.
Right.
We are a group of international group of people that teach people how to speak in public and give people confidence.
Mm.
As we say, it's an international group. There's over 300,000 members worldwide in 122 countries. And we've probably got over nearly 300 groups here in the UK.
Right, okay.
And within Kent, we've got one at Canterbury, one in Fizers, a sandwich,
right.
One Bromley, Westmorling, and also at Tunbridge Wells. So there's quite a few groups around. We're just starting a new one up in Ashford.
Oh, wow. Okay. So tell us a little bit about how it works, and then we'll talk a bit about why it should work and why we need to do it, which we do.
Well, how it works, people come along and who maybe have the fear of public speaking and want to get over that fear.
Sorry to interrupt you. I once read a statistic. I don't know how true this is, but it's a really good statistic, that when people are asked their top three fears, number one was a fear of speaking in public, and number two was a fear of dying. So people would actually rather die than speak in public, which is a bit strange.
Very strange.
It's true, though, because people are really scared of standing up and speaking in front of an audience, and we try to help them get over that fear. Mm. But it's also people who's coming along who have to do it for a profession and just want to hone their skills.
Yeah.
It's a not-for-profit organisation, so it's not very expensive to join, and it's a bit like you could go on a course for a day, a couple of days, and learn quite a bit. But what we do at Toastmasters, it's a thing that goes on every 2 weeks, probably meet, and it's an ongoing thing. You stay a member a long time, you run through a course, there's a basic manuals where you cover different 10 different parts of aspects of public speaking, whether it's the how to organise your speech, your body language and everything else like that. Then after you've done that, which you go on to advanced manuals where you pick whatever you want to talk about, whether it's storytelling, speaking to inform, how to have interviews on the radio and different things like that. So you can then just specialise in what you want to specialise in.
Okay, cool. So how did you get involved in this, Richard?
Well, I've been a member over 13 years and I joined Toastmasters International when I was in Sweden.
Right.
And I was working for a Volvo and they had a company club and I went along there. I thought, well, this is really something that can help me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I joined there and I joined another club in Gothenburg in Sweden and really enjoyed it. Then when I came back to the UK, there wasn't a club in Canterbury, so I started a club in Canterbury.
Right,
and
okay.
That's been going for about 8 years now.
Mm. And are you actually from Holland as well?
No, I'm from the UK.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
But you've picked up a little bit of Dutch
from
your wife.
Maybe it's not Dutch, but I've travelled a lot. I've lived a lot in Europe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to emphasise this because I think it's just so important. So many people do fear speaking in public. There is actually nothing to fear. It's one of those things that just gets into your head. But one of the things that so many business people are bad at is putting themselves across. And it's such a useful and good talent. If you just think about simple things like networking meetings, the amount of networking meetings you go to now and the amount of things you sit through where people have to give a 60-second overview of who they are, and they're appalling because they spend so much time being scared of what they're about to say or not having planned what they're going to say that they don't do themselves justice. So the ability to speak well in public is a massive, massive, massive business advantage.
Well, what we do, we give them the space and the location that is a safe, supportive environment.
Yeah.
Where we don't mind if people make mistakes. And one thing, when you give a presentation of work, everyone says, oh, very well done.
Yeah.
But they never really give you any feedback on, well, how can I do better? And that's what people want to know. They want to know, well, how can I do this better? Yeah. And that's what we do. Well, yeah.
And so do you video people when they're doing speeches?
We can video. We can put them on YouTube if they want to be on YouTube. But we do video them because you are your best critic, really, when you see yourself.
Mm.
And we actually advise people when they're preparing for presentations to video themselves on the part of preparation.
Absolutely. So in terms of the classes that you do on public speaking, is there a format that you use? Is there a format that you use for giving a speech in public?
Yes, there's always a format. It's got to have a good opening, a full body, and really good conclusion. And what you've got to obviously think about is, what is the purpose of this presentation? Why am I giving this presentation? And what's in it for the audience? And that's one thing, main thing you've got to think about, is that it's not about saying that you're the expert about something. It's what the audience want to know. So you've got to know your audience as well.
Sure. It's interesting, though, as well, because when you talk to people about a fear of public speaking, people have the same conceptions and the same worries, you know, that when they stand up in front of an audience, they're going to, one, dry up, or two,
say something stupid,
or three, somebody in the audience is going to go, or challenge them and go, that's just wrong. Yeah, you're just wrong. And those are the kind of things that normally put people off.
Or fall over on stage.
And then you
trip.
Then you get all the wardrobe malfunctions, having your flies undone, having cabbage between your teeth and all that kind of stuff that happens. And as someone that I worked for 15 years on the international public speaking stage. And what I would tell people is, yep, all of that's going to happen. And it's going to happen quite frequently. And what you got to do is not try and stop it happening, but just have a little strategy for dealing with it when it does. And it's that simple, really.
What's your strategy for dealing with a...
showing off.
Malfunction.
Oh, look, my flies are undone. Oh, look, everyone.
So that you go with it.
Yeah, you go with it. You know, everybody makes mistakes in life.
Well, people
everybody.
Aren't looking for perfection.
No, absolutely, they're not.
They're listening to the speaker. They're listening for the message they're giving over.
Yeah.
And we like to think that the speakers are being authentic, just being themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they've got some quirks, that's okay too.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And the interesting thing is that I found, and I don't know how you feel about this, Richard, but I found that the audience is more scared of you, the speaker, than the other way around. So no matter what size the audience is, because they don't know what you're going to do, because you're in charge. And one of the things I found for organising a really audience, you know, I've spoken to some big audiences, like 3,000, I think is my record at the moment. But, you know, if somebody starts to heckle, for instance, in a serious speech, you just go, well, look, I'll tell you what, I'll shut up, you carry on. And the rest of the audience will turn on them straight away because they paid to listen to you, not them.
Mm.
So actually, the speaker actually has more power than the audience, because the audience are just worried that you might kind of pick on them or ask them to do something.
Yeah, but you also want to connect with the audience,
yeah,
ask the audience questions, rhetorical questions,
yeah.
So make them think about what your message and everything like that.
Absolutely. So... go on.
So, Richard, can you think of an example where you've really helped someone that was nervous in any way? Can you think of something?
Well, we came, a French lady joined our group, and she was really nervous. And what we have in the second half of the meetings is what we call a table topics, which is impromptu speaking, where you're asked a question, and you're supposed to come up and speak on that subject from 1 to 2 minutes. Mm. And she lasted 10 seconds because she was so nervous. But the good thing is she got up there and done it.
Yeah.
9 months later, she's given a presentation. She's got full body language, and she's amazing. Made people cry in the audience with what she was, the passion she was talking about. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And she got divorced, and she had to appear in court. She said, I would never have been able to stand up in court and stand up for myself as if I didn't have go through the Toastmasters program.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very powerful skill, and it's not a difficult skill to learn, is it? Yeah.
Well, it's a skill you've got to learn. The only way you're going to learn it is by getting up and doing it. We say it's a bit like swimming. You've got to get your hair wet if you want to be able to be a good swimmer. So you've got to get up there and do it. And the more times you do it, the easier it will become. And there'll become a time when you think to yourself, well, that went okay. Oh, I actually enjoyed that.
Mm.
Oh, I want to do that again. Mm. And then there's a eureka moment where you then you try to master the presentation skills.
Yeah, absolutely. So coming back to the courses and the workshops that you run, what's the kind of format? How does it work? Is it a one-day course or
is it
spread over a period of time?
It's a year's membership.
Right, okay.
And approximately, we'd say for different groups, it's a different amount. It's about £100 for a year.
Wow, is that all?
And on a cancer group, we meet 3 times a month
right.
in the evening. And there's on a typical evening, there's 3 presentations and they're evaluating and giving feedback. And we do some impromptu speaking after that, and they're giving feedback on the impromptu speaking as well.
Okay.
That is a general format.
Okay, cool. That's brilliant. So, I mean, what kind of people are you finding normally comes to Toastmasters?
It's either the people who want to get over the fear of public speaking and get past, but it's more we're seeing professional people coming in,
yeah.
especially small businesses, that they're experts in what they do, but they've just got this fear of standing up and telling people about what they do.
Yeah.
And that's a big blockage for them. There, a lot of people and those are coming along.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I'm very passionate about, because I just believe that you've got to be able to put yourself across in public. And once you've done it and you feel comfortable doing it, it's such good fun. And it's so actually easy to do. And yet it stands out because so few people will have the courage to even try and do it. That it's a massive business advantage to be able to speak well in public.
Well, we teach people how to speak in public, but what we really do is give people confidence, and it's just not in public speaking. It goes all the way through their life as well.
Fabulous. Give us a shout for your website so that people can find out some more about it.
Our website in Canterbury is cancerycommunicators.co.uk, but if you go on to Toastmasters International, there's a button there where you can search for any club in the UK or worldwide.
Fabulous. We'll put the links to that on the Kent Business Radio website, and in fact the Canterbury one is already on there. Just before we end the show, we're going to have a quick chat with your good lady wife,
yes.
Yoka, as well. Hello, Yoka. Welcome to the
Hello.
Business Bunker.
Hello.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show too.
It is a pleasure to be here. And very surprising.
You have this complimentary health centre, the Manor Barn, which is near Canterbury.
Yes, actually, what Richard was just telling, the Toastmasters is meeting in the Manor Barn in Canterbury.
Right.
And it's a lovely place. It is the centre where I work, and every day I feel grateful to be working from there. It's a beautiful centre where we help people to be more well. It is a well-being centre. It's getting people not only better physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
Okay.
And there are courses and there are complementary treatments. And we are always open for therapists who are looking for a place to work.
Right, okay.
And see if they fit in. And we are giving educational talks there. And the next one will be on the 7th of June, actually Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning, about missing nutrients.
Right.
And we are...
Missing nutrients.
Missing nutrients.
Okay.
If you want to be more about that, it is the last 20 years, a whole group of missing nutrients has been discovered, what we all need. It's called glycons. And I will be explaining more about that and other nutrients. So people are welcome and they can always come along. Myself, I teach yoga. I give treatments in cranial sacral and shiatsu, and Saima therapy is with sound. And there are many other therapists working there as well who are always welcoming people.
So this is manorbarn.org.uk?
Manorbarn.org.uk.
And yes. Whereabouts are you near Canterbury?
It is on the way out of Canterbury towards Ashford. And then you go up the road, the Cockering Road.
Okay.
It's CT1 3UR.
Cool. Yoka, thank you for that. It sounds absolutely fabulous.
It does.
Yeah, what a fabulous place. Thank you for bringing that to our attention and telling us about it. There's a course on the 7th of June.
It's a talk at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Yes. Do you want...
Yeah, go on.
Well, I'd like to say about another course on the 7th of June at the Manor Barn in the afternoon. We're running a course called speaker to trainer, where we've got people who are very good public speaking, but there's a lot of difference between that and training. So if you go onto the Canterbury website and look at workshops, you'll see the details there, and it's going from 12 to 4:30.
Fabulous. And that's also on the 7th of June.
It's both on the 7th of June.
Hey, you can spend the whole day there.
I'm talking in the morning and the course is in the afternoon.
So Fabulous. Is there a lunch there as well? Or can people bring lunch?
People can bring lunch. There are teas and coffees available.
Typical Jules.
I'm just thinking if you're spending all day.
She's got two fascinating courses that she could do, and what's she worry about? Food.
If you're there all day, you'd need
I'm not even talking to you.
Sustenance.
We've had a tweet from Lee Buckingham, and she says, public speaking tip, blag it. She says, stand tall, shoulders back, chest out, and smile. They won't see you're nervous. Fabulous. So thank you for that, Lee.
Lawyer Fares made a dig at me on Twitter.
Has he?
To ex-chocolate angel who gave us these lovely chocolates. Gorgeous chocolates, says Lawyer Fair. But he says distribution is being fiercely controlled by Jewel Serkin. Which is a very catty thing to say. There you are. Passing them over.
Just while we're on Twitter and stuff like that, Del Kay, who was on earlier, and you asked what soup she was having.
Oh,
and
yes.
She's answered you, the glorious West African chicken and peanut soup.
Gosh, I've never heard
lovely,
of that.
Yeah,
perhaps she could send us the recipe, please.
Yeah. Anyway, enough Twitter. Richard and Yoko, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be on here.
And
Yoko's got her mouth full of chocolate, otherwise she'd say
thank
you.
I waited until she put it in her mouth before I spoke to her, because I'm like
that's your old trick.
Yeah, you know, I pull that trick quite a lot. But I just want to say, as a businessman and as someone that, you know, is asked to speak quite a lot on different topics, I really do recommend that you go and join in with something like Toastmasters with Richard and actually gain your confidence in speaking. It is such a fabulous talent to have and to be able to do and to be comfortable with doing. I can't emphasise enough how being able to speak in public is useful. And it isn't what you think. You know, so many people do the same thing when they speak in public. You know, they think it's all about, you know, having a little format and some printed cards that say, you know, unaccustomed design to speaking in public, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, and all the rest of it. But once you get your comfort, you can say anything in any old style you want.
It's fun. It's enjoyable.
It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's good. It's a good laugh.
But it is quite nerve-wracking.
It can be.
I don't think it's a bad thing to be a little bit nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you? Are you never nervous, Paul Andrew? You don't get a little twinge, butterflies?
Well, no, but then that's a different level altogether, isn't it? Because I've done it professionally for donkey's years, then it would be surprising. That would be like saying, you know, do Formula One mechanics get nervous
about
working on car engines? No.
Everybody gets nervous before speaking, even professional people. But it's turning that nervousness into an excitement, and that's the
bit of adrenaline is good, isn't it?
Yeah. And Paul's comfortable wearing a caveat. He's going to be comfortable public speaking, isn't he?
Exactly, yeah.
He loves purely
in a caveat and nothing else, actually.
People were shocked when they saw you that day.
Exactly.
I thought a caveat was a wild cat, or is that an ocelot?
No, that's a civet.
What is it?
A civet.
You're not really sure how to say it.
That's a civet.
You're sort of saying
it's
it through
teeth. It's a South American small cat.
Well, they're the ones with those little heads and big bodies.
It's not an ocelot. An ocelot's one you wear around your neck.
Is it?
Yeah.
Isn't that a little fox tail?
No, that's Chris Pollard.
What about leopards?
What about leopards?
Panthers?
What about leopards?
Ocelots.
Leopard colonies.
Ocelots.
You're mad.
Ocelot.
Yeah, yeah. Quite a bit.
Wasn't he a knight? Sir Lancelot Ocelot.
Yeah, something like that.
Invitation, Paul Andrews, to the Thames Gateway Kent Partnership. This is a business breakfast and it's coming up on the 17th of June of this year. You can join them for their summer business breakfast, which is hosted by Chairman Rob Bennett. And you can share news and info about opportunities and challenges facing businesses in North Kent today. And you'll hear updates from the partnership on what is happening at local and regional level to support business growth and about key proposals such as the Ebbsfleet Garden City, which I'm very excited about, and Paramount Leisure Resort. And they'll be publishing their 2014 growth plan summary at this event. You can also hear the latest news about the Tiger 0% interest loan scheme. You see, ocelots, tigers, it all comes in here. 0% interest loan scheme and how you can apply for funding. The venue for this is the Bridgewood Manor Hotel in Walderslade Woods in Chatham. That's ME59AX. It's 7:30, arrival registration, breakfast and networking, and the event will start at 8:15. And you need to RSVP with names and any dietary requirements. info@thamesgateway-kent.org.uk. Can you stop creaking?
Sorry.
Was that your hips?
It was my hip.
Get some oil.
Yeah, We've had a tweet from Whitstable Stove Shop.
Hello.
Saying they're listening in. Hello, Mark and the guys at Whitstable Stove Shop. And also they're talking about the Save Manston campaign.
Oh, right, yeah. I drove past it yesterday on my way to the Tappers, and there's a couple of big jumbo things there, plane things.
Yeah, yeah.
That look like they might still be flying. I'm not quite sure, maybe cargo.
Yeah, well, it was the loss of the cargo that finally did for it. It's just a few people on Twitter have asked me to kind of say something about Manston. It's really hard. We spent last year promoting Manston. We had Charles Buchanan, the chief executive, on here. We had Henri Arcade, who was the chief executive of Air France and KLM, who were running their... I'm going to get punched in a minute because I'm just going about to mispronounce a Dutch word. They were running their flights to Schiphol.
Schiphol.
Yeah.
Schiphol.
Oh, see, if only we'd known.
If only we'd known. See, that's it.
Two years we've been
sending people to the wrong place. That's the problem.
I was saying Schiphol, so it's down to us. Say it again.
Say it again.
Schiphol.
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 Schiphol. See, that? No wonder they've gone bust. We've sent them all some random place somewhere in the middle of Russia or something, probably.
Go on, carry on with what you were saying.
But obviously there's a lot of people upset about Anglo-Ag...
Getting it for a pound.
Getting it for a pound and then wanting to build houses on it, allegedly.
Mm.
The fact is, though, that Manston's a difficult place, and this is the third time it's gone bust? So I think we've got to try and think a bit out of the box about what we're going to do about this. I'm not really sure that commercial flights from Manston have got a future.
Well, I think I would love it to happen.
Yeah,
but
we all would.
But there's just too much indecision. It's too wibbly wobbly all the time. If they had someone like EasyJet or Air, you know, Southend is rocketing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Southend Airport.
The single biggest problem is where it is. Manston, I mean. Is the transport infrastructure to Manston is not good enough.
But they were trying to sort that out, weren't they, with hubs and...
But as you just intimated, if you're going to have a low-cost airline doing lots of flights, then you need really good transport. Otherwise, not enough people to get... You know, because it's pilot high, sell it cheap. Manston survived on its cargo traffic, and what did for it this time was British Airways cargo pulling out.
Mm.
It's a massive, massive shame. But they've tried, you know, there's been so many schemes, and they've tried so hard, so many times, with so many different operators to make Manston a viable airport. And so far, they haven't managed
that. But there was a buyer, and Anglo-Ag turned them down.
We won't even get into
that. But there is a Save Manston campaign on Facebook.
That's what, and on Twitter.
Please join it.
And they are doing stuff. But it needs a big think about it, and I know it's emotional for some people whose livelihood depends
lost
on it.
Lost jobs, yeah.
Yeah, but trust me, there's plenty of work in East Kent.
Well, there's a three-day part-time delivery job with Riverford _Kent on the Twitter. They're looking for a delivery driver, Paul Andrews.
Well, they're looking for ex-pilots.
Probably.
Yeah, okay. Good. Anyway, so do join the Save Manston campaign, as Jules says.
You'll find them on Facebook.
And on Twitter, they're Save Manston, at Save Manston. So do join in and see if you can do anything to help. Right, you can do another email.
Living
then.
History groups are commemorating.
That's easy for you to say.
100, I think that Prosecco's catching up with me, 100-year anniversary of the outbreak of World War One. It's now 100 years since the start of World War One, and for the 2014 show, Combined Ops will have a major commemorative display, including infantry, horse-drawn transport, a World War One battle reenactment, and a working replica tank. And this is the Lest We Forget tank, and it's a working-scale replica of a British Mark IV, or was that five? I've forgotten my...
Four.
Yeah. Thank you. I thought it was four.
Yeah.
Didn't hang around much in them times. Okay, so this is owned by the Lest We Forget Tank Limited. Now, if you would like to get tickets for this, it's you can pre-book them at a discounted price, and they may sell out, so get in here. It's www.combinedops.co.uk, combinedops.co.uk for general and more information.
Okay, there's also in line with that a World War One soldier statue that was unveiled by Hugh Fenwick, who's the High Sheriff of Kent, a couple of Saturdays ago. And the statue was designed and cast by Michael Whiteley and his team at Artisan Creations Limited. There's a competition that's been launched for Kent schools to name the soldier in the statue. And the name will be announced at the War and Peace Revival School Day on Wednesday the 16th of July, which is the first day of the show. All suggestions for the name are to be emailed to nameoursoldier@warandpeace.uk.com. That's nameoursoldier@warandpeace.uk.com. Or you can follow the whole thing on the Twitter at War Peace Revival. That's all one word, War Peace Revival on the Twitter. And the War and Peace Revival is the world's largest and best vintage and military festival, taking place from Wednesday the 16th to Sunday the 20th of July at the Old Folkestone Racecourse. So do check that out. We're fast approaching the end of the show. Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce have an annual dinner. It's an evening that you won't forget. Why are you there?
No, I'm not. Well, I haven't been invited.
Okay. Appearing for the first time in Kent, Gordon Banks, the football legend.
Wow, I remember him.
Yeah, from England's World Cup winning 66 team and one of the best goalkeepers ever.
Yeah.
A unique opportunity to hear some really fascinating stories and behind-the-scenes info on the most important day in England's football history. Come and hear Gordon's story on World Cup semi-final evening and later watch the match live. We never know, it could be England playing. It's a great chance to take the table and bring along business colleagues for a unique chamber dinner. Prices include reception drink and three-course dinner followed by the live football, and that's on Tuesday the 8th of July at the Ashford International Hotel. And that's part of the Kent B2B, which is happening that day, and from which the Business Bunker is broadcasting live.
Well, which day is this?
It's Tuesday the 8th of July.
Excellent.
And the Business Bunker show from that, on that day will be at the Ashford International Hotel Kent B2B show, and we will have a stand there, and the show will be broadcast live from there.
Fabulous.
That's me and you again.
Yes, and I bet I do all the work and you swan off, as usual.
That'll be the normal format.
Yeah, I just stay on the stand and
anyway,
call
so
over swans
off. If you want to go to the dinner in the evening and listen to Gordon Banks, it's a whopping £39.50 per person, and that's for a three-course meal. And you can go, you can do that by bookings, email bookings@kentinvictorchamber.co.uk, or you can call Penny on 01732 758 530, 01732 758 530.
Well, I bet he's a really interesting speaker.
I bet he is too. We've got a bazillion tweets still outstanding. We have five or six emails this side. I don't know how many you've got
three.
There. But we've run out of time.
We have.
So I just want to say a massive, massive thank you to our fabulous guests on today's show, Mr. Andrew Weaver of Lawyer Fair, Richard Murray of Canterbury Communicators and Toastmasters, and the lovely Yoka, his wife. Of,
yes.
Tell us your company again.
The Manor Barn.
Yep.
Manor Barn near
the Manor
Canterbury.
Manor Barn near Canterbury. And 7th of June at the Manor Barn, loads of events happening there. Do get along to one, any or all of those events. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you. Thank you for listening. Coming up on Channel Radio later today, at 3 o'clock, we have Kevin Cam with Extra Milk, who's back from his David Bowie exhibition in Berlin. And then at 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery. That's followed at 7 o'clock by the boys on the Beer, Booze, Band and Ball show down the pub. Guess what that's about. And then at 9 o'clock, we have the fabulous Jamie Andrews with the New Potato Show, 18 tracks of new and unsigned music, and a special guest on the show tonight, Mr. John Austin Brooks.
The baked potato.
Yeah, Mr. John Austin Brooks. So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the day. You've been listening to me, Paul Andrews. We will be back next week.
Bye-bye.